welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 17 of the Harsh Reality Podcast. I'm your host, DA, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, first the one and only Mr. L. Miguel.
What's the highly favored?
Yeah, there you go. We back after a long break. And of course, we got our always knowledgeable, now spoken sister, Sharice.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, you weep, I ain't say Reese this time. See, I'm getting better at this.
Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. And behind the scenes, our director of media relations and our resident fact checker, Rye. What's going on?
Hey, y'all.
What's going on? We got to get you a mic. You all muffled back.
Don't do my girl like that.
We're going to hook you up. Don't worry. You've been working hard. We're going to get you. What's the next holiday coming up? I don't know. Martin Luther King Jr. Gift. God damn it. And on this podcast, we plan to hit on various topics revolving around the latest news, business, family life, hip hop, social commentary, and any recent headlines that affect our community. And you got to throw the disclaimer out there. By no means are we experts, just three melanated peoples, four including Ryan in the background, with a small platform here to add our two cents to the various subjects we plan on discussing today. And also follow the Harsh Reality Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as long as we don't get banned. All right. Firstly, let's shout out the Melanated Conscious Society headquartered in Jacksonville, Florida. MCS is a mentorship organization teaching various life skills as well as knowledge of self to our youth. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram for this latest news, meetings, and valuable information. Shout out to Capra L for killing them out there on the social media. I see you. And also shout out to the KWAZ radio family. KWAZ providing the latest and greatest in conscientious oriented content. Follow them on all forms of social media, as well as subscribe to the Bitter Medicine podcast hosted by Koku and the Pro Black Perspective, hosted by Oni Tase. And lastly, this podcast is not free. So, you know, hook us up on Patreon and donate, with all proceeds going to upgrading the show, paying for hosting fees, and providing the best content we can for loyal listeners. And also for those looking to be featured in our Black-owned business spotlight, are you just looking out to drop, you know, some advice, drop a comment on the show, whatever, hit us up at the email at theharshrealitypod@gmail.com. Now, without further ado, let's get into the topic, shall we? And the first thing I got is Dani Lee and her DaBaby-inspired song, Yellow Bone, which caused quite a stir in the African community, Black community, and sparked a debate on colorism and who's actually considered Black. So what you guys got on Dani Lee and her song, Yellow Bone? I know, I tell you one thing, that thing was trash. I heard part of it. You know how it sounds like somebody's like kind of messing around in the studio and, you know, playing around or something? That's kind of how that sounded to me, but
yeah, it sounded like a smash trash studio session. Like, yeah. Yo, let me get you in the booth, and then you know what I mean, the glitz and glamour, and then smash, and then send them on their way type of shit. But I think they've been together for some time now, right? Maybe about almost a year at a minimum.
She's been on the side, so yeah, you're right.
Yeah, is she on the side now?
Not now, but for the past year, she was on the side. They just became public like the end of last year.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's a testament to the longevity of you know, playing a good role in the background and the side. So shout out to Dani Lee for on her recent promotion by being, you know, put in the spotlight now and being official, right? But as far as the song goes, what do y'all think about the debate on colorism? I know I've seen some people talking in regards to that she's not even Black. They put up a picture of her parents, and she's supposedly, I believe, Dominican. And her parents were, you know, they were lighter. I couldn't tell if they were, you know, Black or mixed race or whatever. We all know most Dominicans are mixed race. Whether they claim that mixed race or not is a whole different, you know, bag in itself. I think they deal with some issues in terms of, you know, light skin, dark skin racism on the island, as far as I know.
So, exactly. Because you already know how they treat Haitians. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But my biggest thing is, I think if you claim that you're Black and you put that at the forefront, then I view you as Black, regardless of what your skin tone is, because people are mixed with whatever, you know. And with Dani Lee, like, she's always claimed to be Dominican. So, but my biggest issue with the song is the fact that since she just became public with DaBaby is when it's like she's trying to throw shots at the mother of his kids, and she's a brown skinned woman. So I think they make a cute couple, to be honest with you, but I'm turned off from both of them simply because the baby co-signed the fact that she even made that song. And I've heard a lot of different things people said, like, why she can't uplift light skinned women or this and that. And that's a whole nother conversation to me, because light skinned women get uplifted in every song you hear. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never really hear, there's not really many songs or people out there making music shouting out brown skinned women. Let's just be honest about it. You know what I'm saying?
You got India Ari. She was
I'm not saying you don't have none. There are some. Wale loves black women.
Lennox. You got.
Yeah, I know. I follow all those people. But what I'm saying is the majority of the music you hear is uplifting lighter skinned women. And that's
I disagree with that.
Well, y'all are men. So obviously, to me, the perspective is going to be different either way, because you guys are you, men.
Are you sexism towards us?
It's not sexism. It's the truth, because men aren't going to understand things from a woman's perspective. So of course you're not going to look at it the same way that a woman would look at it, a brown skinned woman at that. I hear what's on the radio. You know, I hear when someone else is at the forefront of everything in society. You know what I'm saying? There's a lack of representation of black women. Like, yeah, we're getting more representation now, but there's not as much as there is for lighter skinned women. But that's not necessarily my issue with Dani Lee's song. My issue with her song is the fact that she's throwing shots at the man she's in a relationship with, the mother of his children. You know what I'm saying?
Now, what exactly did she say? Because I didn't... Like I said, yellow I only heard the snippet.
Yellow bone is what he wants. Yellow bone is what he wants is what she said in the song.
It could be taken as a shot, right? But obviously it is what he wants.
Well, yeah, but what you need to make a song about it for, though?
That sound like
you're
some
a yellow
beef.
Bone. Like, what do you?
Is that more an eternal beef? Well, check this out. Yeah, last year. Well, what was that? When was that Get Out movie came out? About 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And you had the Redbone song popping off, right? But it was a black man that sung the song. So is it acceptable? Or is Redbone better than Yellowbone? Are they similar?
I'm not getting into all the bones. I'm not finna get it, because it's really
flesh and
honestly,
bone, lazy bone.
I'm gonna tell you where I stand with it. When anytime a black woman says anything about anything that society does to put light-skinned women on a pedestal, we're automatically assumed to be bitter, mad, we wish we was this and that, when that is not the case. That's not always the case. Yeah, you got people that are bitter, but I feel like the men are the ones that don't want to admit that that's really what's going on when y'all see it for what it is. But then again, you aren't women, so...
Yeah, but we are, you know, attracted to women. We are the one who's seeking out women, right? So... I would say I've seen a lot more brothers who I've seen so many memes about like yellow bones or yellow chicks having like whack box and shit like that.
I ain't never seen no shit like that in my
shit.
Life.
Well, never. I'm a man.
Never. I've
heard I'm a man.
Out of their mouth shit about, you know how many men, because.
But
I'm
that's
more,
your perspective. That's just perspective.
You're right.
Everybody gonna have different perspectives. Everybody gonna have different experiences, right? Maybe the circle you roll with is more. You see more of the discrimination in terms of brown.
I hang with a lot of different people. I don't hang with people that are discriminatory.
You know what I mean? So where is the?
Where the perspective of all of this discrimination coming from, and the lack of perspective, the lack of representation of brown and black women? Because I think
and even brown band-aids. What do you mean? We're just getting brown band-aids. Like,
you go to band-aids on the
but it's, that's how minute it is. Like, it goes, like, that's what I'm saying.
But I think if you look at, like, Rihanna, let's take Rihanna. She's brown, right? You can sit up right. Brown, caramel, right? Her, she threw the whole makeup line for brown, and that's selling millions, billions, and that's been pushed real hard in the media. I think you see more of to me, that light skin thing was like a 90s thing, man. It's like a kid and play type of deal.
Yeah, women was in the 90s.
I think what we're seeing now is that, light-skinned women might get chosen by more men, right? But we're talking about outside. When you look on social media, a lot of these light-skinned women are with white men, with Spanish men. What are we talking? Are we talking within our African-American community, or are we just talking across the board? If you want to be chosen, I think the notion that, you know, if you look at all men, like, yeah, if you say, what is a white man going to choose first, a dark skinned woman or a light skinned woman, he's probably going to choose one that resembles closer to him. But I think I've never been influenced by what people said on a radio to choose a light skinned woman or a dark skinned woman. In fact, most light skinned women feel insecure about being light skinned. They feel like they're targeted more by dark skinned women that aren't light skinned. You know, a lot of light-skinned women have a lot of insecurities about being light-skinned. And not saying that it's easier for them or harder for them, but I just see a great conscious push to make dark-skinned women more beautiful, or, you know, come across as the beauty that they already have. Like, it's not a, like, you know, you're not seeing as many light-skinned models anymore. Like, even on Instagram, most of the baddies are brown-skinned, dark-skinned, you know, like.
Even the show, what's the name, is having, I don't know, they this new NBC show they got coming out with, it's supposed to be an African woman who's darker, and it's supposed to be like a white dude. That's like, I've seen a lot of that pushing too. If you look at, like, recently, you see a lot of interracial relationships with it's a darker woman and a white guy. I've seen that a lot being pushed recently.
Yeah, look at ABC. I mean, look at all these ABC shows, right? Kerry Washington, what was she doing? Sleeping with white men. What was and what is she brown? We calling her brown skin, right? Borderline, you know, in between brown and chocolate. Let's look at what's the How to Get Away with Murder? What's her name?
Olivia.
But Pope. That TV show, that was all about her. Kill, you know, killing her husband, her white husband, you know what I mean, and having the black alpha male was the side dude, you know what I mean. So it's like, you know, when we talking about media and what's being portrayed out there, if anything, to me it shows that the black man isn't good enough for the brown and black woman. Just look at all the TV shows. It's most of the black women are doctors, and most of their love interests are white men.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mostly brown and black women. They're not light-skinned women.
Yeah, I catch you know, people watching the Chicago PD where it's a professional black woman on there who's a doctor or nurse. I think she's a doctor or nurse, but I know she's sleeping with the Asian guy on the show. You know, and like I said, ain't nothing against whatever relationship, whatever you choose to do. But I'm seeing like a good push for, you know, and also division. I see a lot of division driven too between, you know, the more professional black woman and going to choose, you know, a white or a lighter spouse. You know what I'm saying? So I'm seeing that a lot as well. And that brings me, you know, to the second part of this question is who is considered black, right? So we just recently had the, you know, the inauguration. I can't never say that word. You know the damn word I'm talking about. The thing that was on TV with Biden and Harris, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you had Kamala come out there, right? The first thing they say is this is a black, you know, black woman, first black woman vice president, right? And from my best of my knowledge, her mom is Indian, India, the dot. And her pops is, Jamaican? But she's considered that, but they're saying the first African-American, you know, vice president. So, my question is who is considered black, you know? So if you're light-skinned Dominican parents, you're not black, right? Even though you may embrace all the tenets or you may embrace the black community, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, Kamala is considered black or African-American. Where is the divide at?
You know, I mean, what I'm saying? I think the divide is as it was created, right? If you're brown and you resemble and you have African-American features, and based upon white society, you're black. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm light-skinned and I'm black. You know? Shit, Kamala might be darker than me. And, you know, we question her blackness, right? At this point, we're so mixed with everything. And, you know, white America sees it. If you got black features, you black. Some one of us may, you know, one of their ancestors, if you lighter, a lighter skin, help contribute to the creation of that person. That's why they've always been treated a little bit better. But I think we can't look at like the standards of what white America says is black and what we consider black, right?
Right.
I think we as a community should define it and chalk line that bitch. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because like you're saying, you know, she doesn't really have African American ancestry, right? So if are we now owning the title African American? You know, because that's almost like a disrespectful title, right? Like,
right.
It resembles a lot of the the hate towards us, right? So if we're not owning that title, that's their title that they give us to fill out papers and shit, you know. But if we're not owning that title, then we shouldn't be questioning. I don't think we shouldn't be creating all these sub chapters of what Black people are when it's only a fraction of us, you know. And not saying all Black people are created equal, but you know, we the beauty of melanin is that we can create all pigments, you know. Word. And you know, I just, you know, are we talking culturally or are we talking like straight genetics? You know, like if we're talking culture, yeah, let's chalk line it. But when we start talking to skin tones and what beauty is and what Black is, to me, it just, at this point, it doesn't even matter. You know, like
exactly.
just don't even matter to me.
That's what I said. I said one thing is if you're, you know, in this world, period, you are not purebred, nothing. You're not thoroughbred, nothing. At this point, everybody is mixed with something, right? So when people try to play the Black police about defining who's Black, and like I say, are you drawing the line culturally? Are you drawing the line genetically, right? And that's a big thing. That's a big divide. That's a lot of debate on the internet because you got a lot of people pushing the ADOS and then you got the Pan-Africanist beef. And I think we hit on that on the episode with the KWAZ family, with the divide between the ADOS, as they call them, and the Pan-Africanists, right? So which one is which? I think all this just serves a further divide, right? Why are we arguing about colorism when we got so many things to handle? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Why is that even an issue? We got bigger fish to fry if you ask me. But that's how I feel about that topic.
I think we run away, and not saying that we should own the title African American, but it is a timeline. It is the title that we can refer back to a timeline, you know, to a specific date and time, and move from there, right? Like, that's what years are. It's just a mark, and you know, we, like, for example, AD, you know, and BC, you know, like those are time periods that marked something symbolic in time. And then, you know, you can go back from, and then you can move forward from. And I think, you know, at this point, you know, I get it. Not saying people, you know, I don't want to get the backlash. I don't even care if I get the backlash, but, you know, the term African-American, well, we live in America, right? And we are, you know, not saying that we all come from African heritage, but shit, damn near everybody comes from some part of Africa. I think the, like you saying, the, you know, furthering divide us without any movement, you know, it's just kind of crazy to me. Like, let's unify on something. You know what I mean? Like, we can't even unify what we are, you know, and that's part of our problem, you know.
Yeah.
What's Black, what's not, you know? It's like, oh shit, let's pick something, whatever we are, you know, let's pick it and then move from forward from that in some sort of movement.
I like that. And that's one thing too. I agree with you 100% on that. And I think one of the problems is we don't never get to pick what to call ourselves, right? We never got a choice in what to call ourselves, right? We were almost like a new culture group on this earth. Yet we are the only ones that had no say in what, you know, we need to call ourselves, right? It wasn't no ballots sent out, wasn't no votes, wasn't no damn censor, wasn't no anything sent out, right? I didn't get my ballot in the mail. I know that much. And now they pushing the new term where they encompassing all non-white people and calling us people of color. Like, so we colored again.
Of course. And then they're going to blend in the history. You know, you're going to start seeing in the history books, Latino American Day, Asian American Day, and talk about, you know, their contributions to society. Right. And they'll reference, you know, our ancestry in the contributions. But, you know, for the most part, it's a way for them. It would be a great opportunity for us to rewrite our history and to solidify our being in the history books. You know what I mean? The worst thing I would want to see is that our history stop. You know, it starts, you know, in the 1800s, and you know, all the way from the 1700s forward, right? And we talk about slaves and all the gruesome stuff that happened to us. And then that stops, right? From the 90s forward, what are our contributions? You know, like our big contributions to society, outside of sports, outside of entertainment. And there are some big contributions, but, you know, let's solidify this and let's back that. And because it's already too late as far as, you know, we're already too integrated. Right. And, you know, let's be one and move forward from that, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. I know what I want to toss this to Rye in the background over there. I don't know where you fall at on the brown paper bag test. You know what I'm saying? But I would say see you more light skin. Right. Is there some way you feel about the colorism debate? What are your thoughts on how was your experience? You know what I mean? Dealing with it.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm lighter skin, but I was having this conversation with a friend earlier. Like, it's made me a little uncomfortable in recent years. Like, I noticed people use the term light skin very loosely, as if considering yourself brown skin is something to be frowned upon. And that's saddening. Like, I don't know.
I feel you. At the end of the day, we all just different, you know, different melanin levels, right? It really don't matter. And even if you go to the continent of Africa itself, man, you got the Sands people who look, you know, more Asian and phenotype and lighter skin, right? I never forget, man, I was in high school and I went to school with this dude. I swear I thought the brother was like Puerto Rican or mixed with white or black, right? So I got cool with dude. We talking one day. So he's like, yeah, man, I'm an immigrant or whatever. I'm like, what? Where you from? Brother said Tanzania. I said, Tanzania, Africa. Get the fuck out of here. This dude like Smokey Robinson, bro. I said, how the hell are you from? But man, he showed me his green card. He from Tanzania, yo. The whole family showed me. I seen Pixel's family, met his sister and everything. They all, you know, lighter skinned people, man. You would think they were Puerto Rican almost. You know what I'm saying? So I think the whole debate is, like I said, we all got different levels of melanin. It really don't matter. It's all just a division thing, right? And, I think some people need to stop playing the black police, man. Some people are using that as clout. You know, different people have organizations where they push this division and they get likes and all this other stuff, you know. And a lot of people have self-hate where they hate, you know, whether they light or dark. They hate, you know, they've been taught that this is not the standard of beauty. So, you know, you got that haterism and that self-hate, which sparks a lot of this, you know, division and hating on people because of the different melanin levels. It's ridiculous if you ask me. So I think we beat that dead horse. Let's go ahead and move on to the next subject. And our thoughts on the inauguration. I can't say the damn word.
Inauguration.
There you go. There you go. Of Biden Harris and the executive orders issued by Joe Biden on his first days. I believe he threw some legislation, some executive orders on immigration. Also, I know the big one, the real controversial one on transgender rights, allowing you to participate in the sport. Basically, the schools, if the students want to participate in sport, they're allowed to participate in the sport of their identifying gender, right? Otherwise, that school doesn't get federal funding. I think that's one of the things he did, and it was a big controversy in regards to that. So what do you think? You got any thoughts as to, well, you know, what the future may hold with this current administration, and any thoughts on the executive orders, you know, issued by Biden? And we can also say, you know, although the black vote greatly boosted his chances, I mean, his victory, I didn't really see anything tailored toward the black community, which is interesting to say the least. So what you guys got?
I seen some stuff. Well, I seen a list of promises in different categories, like for women, the economy. It was a long list. It's the Parmesan. I'm sorry. But I seen a long list of promises, and a piece of me wants to just print it out and scratch off the list because they're promises. You know, it's not necessarily anything that is going to be done that, you know, we don't know that these things are going to be done. Like you said, he already got the black vote. And I really don't, like, he hasn't done anything specifically for the black community yet. Like, these executive orders. So right now I'm reading he's halting the funding for the construction of Trump's border wall. reversing Trump's travel ban, targeting Muslim countries, imposing a mask mandate on federal property, ramping up vaccination supplies, you know, just different things like that. So, you know, I'm just going to buckle up and just see what happens. I am happy that we have a woman VP. And I say this because despite her background, I think it's important for little girls in America to see a woman vice president, you know, so they can see what they're able to accomplish themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Role model.
What you got, Lo? You got anything? I mean, L. Miguel. I gotta cut that out, man. What you got,
L? I don't really think nothing of it. It's kind of too early to really pass any judgment. He's doing pretty much what he's catering to the bigger economic influence, you know, that are Democrats, right? You know, the LGBT and immigration, you know, like it is what it is. I mean, from a business perspective, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. What that means for us, well, he's trying to cut the black people out the pie. They looking at how we resist certain stuff. We don't up our demands high enough, and now we're about to get cut out before we even get any demands, right? So it's kind of fearful, not, you know, fearful times where, you know, I just hope that people value themselves to really understand the bigger picture, that this is all a game, to, you know, who's going to get you into the presidency. Right now, they still need the black vote, but shit, 8 years from now, they won't need the black vote. You know what I mean? And, We ain't going over to the other side. You know what I'm saying? They might not even let us go to the other side when it comes to casting votes. So, I don't really feel any kind of way. I don't even have any real substantial thoughts on what he's doing right now. I just want him to run me my money. That's all I need for him to do is run me that
my
bread.
Two stacks.
1400. He said it's 1400.
I want two stacks.
He subtracted the 600. He said we got that already.
Give me my stimmies. Yeah, but stimmy. He said, and then one thing I want to point out to in regards to, you know, we had this past year with the pandemic and everything else. They say an estimated 50% of black owned small businesses are closed, you know what I mean? Done, right? And that's a lot of small businesses. And we all know that the black vote, you know, boosted demand up, right? So it's like, you know, one of the first things you do, though, is not to give back to that community that gave you, you know, so much, which is kind of crazy to me, you know. And 50% of small business, that's a lot of jobs, right? That's a lot of jobs not coming back. And it should have been a priority, I would say, to at least, you know, throw some to those businesses that are done, you know, give something right back. And people don't realize. Also, I think one of the things they want to try to do is legalize, the undocumented. I hate to say illegal, you know, aliens or whatever, but the 11 million immigrants that we have here that are undocumented, they want to make them documented, right? Put them on the books, give them, you know, social security cards and be able to work legally, right?
They can vote.
Yeah, so they can vote. And they also going to end up going into, you know, industries that maybe, you know, you're going to have more competition when you go fill out that, you know, application at Target, right?
Hell yeah, because they ain't going to complain. They're going to work hard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Americans complain too much. And they be like, I'm not working for no $9 an hour.
And they're going to flip that. They're going to probably have three-day, you know, I worked with two immigrants at Target, real talking. You know, and two of them, and then they got another family member up there, and they all went to work together, went home together.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, they stacked their bread, and every now and then they get super fly. And it's like, yo, you must be moving some bricks in out that crib. You ain't no way you affording that off them Target checks. You know what I mean? But what it is that they stack their money, they combine their resources, and they have a goal. You know, like, even it's crazy, not get off subject, but like, I was talking to my mans the other day. And he having some girlfriend issues, you know, him and his girl beefing. And I said, 7 years in, and it's like, I'm like, well, what are your goals? And he just went blank. You know, he just went blank. I think we don't goal set like a lot of other nationalities goal set. Right. Like, our goal sets be, our goals be very, like, and I'm not talking an individual at this point. I'm talking about, like, for a whole community. Our goals be just to stay afloat. when we spend so much money, people could be eating.
Exactly. We got too much money to just stay afloat.
So, you know, it's like, you know, and he's trying to change the word aliens from all documentation. I think it said non-citizens is what he wants to say. So I do feel some kind of way about that because, shit, go and change the Constitution and make us five-fifths of a human, goddamn it.
Yeah, they had to have you at it. Amendment.
Shit, yeah, you want to change some egregious shit. You know, let's go change that shit, you know, and you know, but, you know, not to take nothing away from the and I hate to say this, but when it's effed up. But every time we say immigrants, we just think Latinos. But there are a lot of different types of immigrants. There's Indian, Chinese immigrants, you know, and that's something that, you know, I had to kind of check myself with. You know, you have Haitians, Jamaicans, you got all kind of immigrants that come to this country. But I think when we look at the face of immigration because of white media, right, it's always Mexicans. You know, it's always like, you know, I hate to say it, but when we say immigrants, we think across the border. And it's a lot of that is the narrative. But there's a lot of other immigrants that, you know, I know people that come from in black people, you know, that, you know, that are immigrants and made away. And matter of fact, the lady that did my hair was from Jamaica, and she's legally, I mean, not legally immigrant, but she's an immigrant just grinding, you know. And so I think we have to find a way as black people to bring in the descendants of Africans over to whatever team we are. I don't even know if we a team right now. We just kind of like, well, we're like bowlers. Like, you ain't go bowling, you on your own team.
Well, yeah. I think, well, what I heard a few years back from people that, you know, immigrated here from different African countries is that one of the things they tell them when they get off is not to associate with us, right? Don't associate with the Akata. Don't associate with the African-American, right? Or the black man or the black woman, right? And I don't know how true that is, but I've heard that from multiple sources when they come over here, is that they tell you, you know, if you want to be successful, don't congregate with us, right?
Well, yeah, and, you know, I've heard that too. And in all honesty, because we've been into the apple, you know, as far as culturally, you know, we've been into the apple. When you look at them culturally, you know, they almost as strict with school, like how we think of the Chinese. You know, I know some Nigerians that couldn't even lead a crib. You know what I'm saying? Like, they wasn't studying. They couldn't lead a crib, you know? I don't think it's necessarily like looking down on Americans. I think it's just more of the way that we think as a community. A lot of times when I talk to people, the only things, like black friends and my black peers, you know, I hear a lot of excuses every day, bro. Every day. I hear excuses about who holding them back, why there's no jobs, why they dropped out of school, why they not starting this business. Really only, and at this point in my life, talking about hoes and partying just isn't for me, you know? And that, unfortunately, I'm not saying, you know, maybe I need to find more people that's like-minded, but I'm hearing this from 38-year-olds, bro. 35-year-olds, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'll pull up sometimes, I'm still getting where the hoes at, and dudes is 41. You know, I'm like, bro, you know, so, you know, I can see why they would say that. I'm not saying it is right. I'm not saying all black Americans are like that, because we're definitely not, especially black women. They out there killing it. But I can see why, if they have a certain way of wanting to raise their, you know, upbringing in their society and their culture. Then yeah, I could see why they would say, you know, don't bite that apple that they've been into. They tripping over there.
Well, it's a media perception thing too, right? Like over here though, like a lot of us, when we think of, well, at least back in the day, man, when we thought of, you know, Africans or people from Africa, any country in Africa, you thought, keep it real, you thought of the cliche dude in the fucking with a spear, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, in the bush and shit like that. Like, it was uncivilized, right? And that's why, you know, the big thing with Black Panther came out, and that was like, oh, they got, you know, even though that's fictional or whatever, but that kind of brought people together. And you can also, they had a you know, technology advanced city, right? They had all this technology, and it's like, oh man, it's dope. But even if you talk to people from Africa, they say, you know, we got the same thing y'all got over here, man. We got cities, we got, you know, all this net, right? And the third, So it's the same thing with us over there, right? If you think of the perception of the Black American, right? What you see, right? You see the rap videos, right? You see, you know, the different medias, the love and hip hops, you know, the Black Ink, you know, things like that. So they have a negative perception of us, just like we may have a, you know, negative perception of them. And going back to your point, you know, when we think of immigrants and we think of, you know, the Hispanic or Latino community or whatever, I want to say almost like the second biggest illegal immigrant group in America is like Canadians or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just people overstand a visa, Europeans and things like that. You, like I say, you never really think just the logistics and how you think of everything. You think of the cages and the ICE and the caravans. You don't even think these people might not be the most people, you know, coming over here and staying illegally. So
yeah, Spain, Venezuela, you know, Ukraine, you know, you got a lot of war torn countries and they sole goal is to get over here, you know, like. So, you know, it's I think Biden is doing what he's supposed to be doing. Right. Let's go ahead and show our biggest backers that we're here for them.
I mean, what do you expect from the thing that kills me when people talk about, you know, Biden is this dude is not this with the day he was inaugurated. He's the oldest president ever. You know what I mean? Not just to be inaugurated, and I can't say that damn word. Y'all know what I meant. But not the, you know, the oldest sitting president. This dude got the record, right? This dude been in politics since the first season, the good times, like I said, the previous episode. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna get anything different, yo. You know what I mean? You might get a little rerun of the Obama years, you know, with a little bit of spice on it, right? You might get and that's pretty much what you're going to get, right? You know, I don't think you're going to get anything groundbreaking in terms of legislation. You're not going to get really anything. You're going to get what you've been getting from 2000, you know, 8 to
shit from 1973 when he was saying, I don't want Black kids to be in school with white kids.
You racial know? Racial jungles. Yeah.
Yes. You know,
So I don't see no big thing. Yeah, we will see. I mean, we ain't got no choice in the matter, but I don't really see anything groundbreaking coming down the pipe. So I think we got on that one, which brings us to the next topic we got here with our, you know, thoughts on the recent increased censorship by Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Right now, we're seeing a lot of, you know, right-wingers, Obama, not Obama, I'm thinking of Trump voters and things like that censored from Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Also, feds running down people. Views down at that Capitol joint, they got the feds running down people. But my question is more so, you know, since we're seeing all this censorship, well, this kind of leads to more decentralized platforms, which may be a good thing, right? You're seeing an increase with Gab. You're seeing they took Parler down, but you're seeing an increase on that. You got a different apps like Telegram and things like that. So what do you guys think about the censorship and, you know, decentralized platforms? Would that be a good thing with, you know, people spread out? Maybe you can get with a group that's more, you know, you're on your thought level of thought process. So what y'all got?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm a techie guy. I'm an IT guy. And if, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand with Facebook being under fire for contributing to, you know, the Russian, what they call it, Russiagate or whatever, you know, the Russia's involvement in supposedly hacking and influencing the election that got Trump in office, right? So they're still under fire. They, you know, every time I turn on like C-SPAN, I'm seeing Mark Zuckerberg just sitting there looking mad dumb. Like he only want to be there. He like, well, you know, they trying to break Facebook up. I mean, the censorship, I think, is just a legal thing, right? That's what Russia did, allegedly, was they used a lot of memes and a lot of these groups. They infiltrated a lot of these, you know, extremist groups you know, a lot of these, not I won't even say extremist groups, but a lot of these political groups. And then they lit fire under their ass and got them to mobilize and do dumb shit. You know, even on Facebook, you can go check to see what political group they have you in. You know, they mm-hmm. break people down to be certain types of extremists or super left wing or super right wing. I forget what the categories are, but yeah, it opens up the door for creative people, for creative minds, for people that have skill sets in coding and programming, and people that got the money You know, what's that new one? Clubhouse that just came out.
Oh yeah,
which
yeah,
is definitely a Fed app. If you ask me from an IT perspective, Clubhouse is just like the Facebook app that they tried to put out, House Party, and it's a Fed app, man. Those apps are federal agent apps. I guarantee you, them joints was created by some kind of government entity, and you know, if people, you know, I would like to see Black Planet do something similar. You know, I would like to see
what happened to that. They supposed to relaunch, man. I was seeing the news on them. Did they ever?
They relaunched. I had made a profile, went over there. It just wasn't, you know, but the network of people wasn't over there to get it popping. But, you know, Facebook has a lot of money. They have a lot of things that seem very simple, but like other platforms don't really have them, you know? So, but yeah, it's definitely a creative time, a interesting time. I think Facebook will inevitably, because you could do a lot of shit with your Facebook account. You can log into, you can authenticate so many apps with Facebook, you know?
Yep, sure.
Which is crazy. You know, like, that's insane that you can use a third party application to log into another application. That means that they pull all of that data from that application too. So, you know, like, you know, from the IT perspective, I understand why they need to be broken up. From a capitalistic standpoint, it's almost not fair. But from also, you know, ingenuity standpoint, you know, I think it's, you know, we should be creating our own platforms. Because if you took Black people off of Facebook, Facebook ceased to exist.
I mean,
funny memes, the entertainment is gone. Gone. Yeah. You took Black women off IG, gone.
Yeah, we drive the culture. I think we know that. You know what I'm saying? What about you, Sharice? What you got? I know you was over there, you know, perusing on that Clubhouse. What you think about that app over there?
So I ain't really, I got my toe in there. My big toe is in there because I still don't really know what it's about. But I mean, from what I've heard, it sounds like it's pretty fun. But, you know, it's like invite only right now, I guess, because, well, I don't know why, because to be honest with you, it's just, it's invite. I guess they're trying to keep too many people from getting on the app.
Yeah.
So whenever somebody invites you, I guess, like, because they gave me 2 invites. So then whoever you invite on gets like 2 invites. But,
and just think about the data collection. That's crazy too, like you were saying. But, what you're saying about censorship?
Oh, you know, I don't really have much to give on this topic. So you good. You can go ahead. And but I was just going to say, like, I know a lot of, you know, different people, like different YouTubers I follow and stuff like that. I watch a lot of different live streams and stuff like that. And I've been hearing them complain, about the censorship and the fact that, they're getting demonetized for saying things now that they could say, like, a few months ago, you know? So in that regard, yeah, I've been hearing secondhand that censorship has become a problem, on YouTube. But yeah, that's all I can give. I mean, I can't really give.
It's been a problem on YouTube. A lot of them people, you know, they be complaining in their videos, you know? Remember back in the day, like, you could play other people's songs and clips. Like, you watch, you know, Joe Rogan before he went to, he went to Spotify, you know, they was playing videos. And, you know, after that, even like on, you know, watch like the Joe Budden podcast, you know, like, they'll talk about a song, listen to the song, but you won't hear anything. Like, that, you can't even say certain stuff.
They did it on Facebook too now. They'll mute a portion of the song. I know y'all seen that. They'll mute it. I guess you can't play like over, I don't know, like maybe 5 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I could speak. I mean, me and Rock can testify, because I know we be trying to run the different ads or whatnot on some of these episodes, man. And if you say too much, I think one episode we went crazy with that V word.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And too much of that C-19 word. And it was like, I tried to run an ad on that joke. Like, no siree, Bob. So it's like, damn, you know what I mean? So it's nuts, man.
Let me ask a question though for the table. Like, if you know, like, let's brainstorm or just throw something out there. If you could build an app for our community, right? And that doesn't even have to be like, oh, I want to build, and you know, so, but what what would our app look like? You know, we know what Facebook and MySpace look like, but what would a Black app look like ideally? Like, what would be an ideal app for the Black community?
Man, it would definitely be fun. Emojis. It would have to have GIFs.
Greetings, everyone. This is Koku from the Bitter Medicine Podcast, inviting you to tune in to the Bitter Medicine Podcast on KWAZ Radio.
Peace, family. This is Oni, inviting you to listen to the pro-Black perspective, where Black problems are addressed with Black solutions.
You got, I think Rod tried to jump. You trying to jump in there? Go ahead, jump in.
We said a bunch of memes. I was tagging them to Sharice.
I would come in there with the memes. I think we had the perfect app. I think MySpace was popping. Like, I think that was the you could do your little fake programming on there. Your fake feel like you program some stuff with your background customized. Like, that's one thing about, you know, MySpace, man. You could tailor it to your I hate the word swag, but you could tailor it to that, right? You know what I mean? You could have your different background. You have your little music playing in the back, whatever you. You know what I mean? Rock out too. You got that playing in the background with your little top eight and all that other stuff. I think that was a superior app to even Facebook. Facebook is so milquetoast now, man. Like, it's not even like worth it to get on it half the time to me. You know what I mean? All I'm doing is arguing with my aunties about, you know what I mean? Yeah. Dumb shit. You know? So it's like, that's why I'd be like, I'd shift it more towards Twitter. You know what I mean? Because you can kind of build or tailor your audience to, you know, to the people who are more like-minded, right?
I like Twitter.
Yeah, have people.
Do any of y'all use Caffeine? Have the Caffeine app?
I never heard of that one.
So they got like, I use it for like rap battles, but what they do is they break down certain avenues, right? So you can virtually see almost anything on Caffeine. Like, if you're interested in basketball, there's channels for basketball, right? So I would think I would do something like that. Like, break down our culture into what are the most entertaining things about our culture, and then allow people to jump between networks. I think right now all of the networks are jumbled in. It's almost like sensory overload over day. Like, you can go down rabbit holes all day and not even get out the bed, you know, because it's just like, oh, what's this? Oh, like, you know, it could be something completely random and just open up a can of worms. Like Kevin Samuels, for example, he's before, you know, the average, you're just the average woman video, you know, he was a fragrance reviewer, and I went down a crazy rabbit hole watching his, you know, like 15 grand later rabbit hole, you know, like joint was bad. So I'll probably build an app with like just with like a lot of different networks, but one would have to be roasting people. I haven't seen an app where you could just roast somebody and have like a roast battle. That's what I want to see. Like, just two people going at it, and then you have people live watching it, and then the culture picks a winner. You know,
they used to have a whole show like that back in the day. I remember, like back in the 90s, man, they used to have a show. I think it was like on BET, where it was just like two. They had a bunch of comics roasting each other, and they had like a finals and all that other stuff. You know what? I think it would be a great app. I'm surprised Versus haven't put out an official app or official platform that lets you, you know, do that, or even have like Versus battles with, you know, your friends picking out different songs and virtual DJ, and y'all got like somebody who picks the winner, or, you know, an audience or something like that where y'all doing y'all thing.
Oh, that'd be a tragedy, bro. You're going to have a bunch of 12-year-olds like, I'm going to get on that Versus feed one day.
You know what I thought about is having, like, you know what I mean? You know how you have all these, you know, fake, you know, pseudoscience, you know, intellectuals, Black intellectuals and different type of intellectuals out there, have like a debate type of app, right? Where it's like, well, you know what I mean? You're going to have, you know, Tariq versus Umar or some shit, you know what I mean? The best grifter of the year type of shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, just something like that. That would kind of be dope, man, if you can get like, you know, some people on there to do that type of. So that's what I think. And I think that's kind of what Clubhouse kind of striving to be. But I think it's more so like a party line from what I hear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a party line. And you know, they put it in the hands of the entertainers, right? Like, they put it in the hands of entertainment instead of like And it's always going to, you know, let's keep a buck. Entertainment is entertainment, you know, and I just think they put it in a wrong entertainer's hand. I mean, because, like, you got so many influencers. Like, I think people underestimate, like, what I learned about, what's that dude name from the show with Nadeska and Joe Budden used to be on? The DJ Academics.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of what I feel about DJ Academics, I don't really feel no way other than just certain stuff. We is obviously grew up two different ways, but he has immense influence over whatever community he has. He has immense influence. And a lot of these products I feel like would be best in the hands of these influencers out here. You know, he has a complete show off of Twitch. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of crazy, you know, and you know, instead of putting it the, you know, because only videos I've seen a Clubhouse of with 21 Savage and Meek Mills. I haven't seen any other Clubhouse or audio or streams outside of them two. So it's like, you know, it's kind of a turn off for me because I'm like, well, nothing they say really interests me. You know what I mean? Like nothing, you know, like I'm so far. I'm very aware of who I am. Right. And I'm so far removed from their type of lifestyle that I can't relate to them. I can't relate to anything that they say.
Now you're talking about in terms of buttons in them, right?
Yeah. Like what do I want to go into a Clubhouse app with 21 Savage and Meek Mills and listen to them say?
Hey, when somebody been, you know, surrounded by yes men for so long and you in the clout and the spotlight, you know what I'm saying? It's going to turn into a you on some ranting like you a boss type of deal. From what I hear when people pull up, you know, the different clips, because people save those little clips from Clubhouse. So I never been on it, but I heard different conversations from it. And it's almost like dudes, you know, gassing themselves up. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, like what is like, if I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna just go to Apple Music and listen to them rap. It's the same shit. You know what I mean? I'm just gonna press play. It's that they're talking what they rap about, but they don't live what they rap about anymore. You know what I mean? And it's like it doesn't. I'm not in their industry. I'm not in their social climate. So to me, it's not interesting. Like you were saying, Sharice, if they're putting that app, if it's invite only, and they're putting that app in the hands of, you know, these stars, well, the only people they attracting are the women that want to hook up with them stars. Every time I see a clip, it's like three stars and then the rest of them be Instagram hoes. You know what I mean? So it's like, when, you know, like that's, you know, they're using black people to promote the app. I haven't seen a Clubhouse video with any like white stars. It's only been rappers and entertainers, and specifically black rappers and entertainers. And in all honesty, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear what they have to talk about, because what they have to talk about is some corny shit. Like, you know, it's like, I get it. Yo, y'all on a different echelon. You're at the top of the food chain. I'm not knocking that, but I'm an average guy. You know, like, I'm an average guy, and I like to talk about average shit. If I could go play dice right now outside, I would do that. You know, shoot some dice. I would do that. I'm an average dude, you know? So the shit when they be arguing over Instagram hoes and, yo, you should have gave him 20 grand. Well, shit. And who wouldn't want to feel like, you know, I think they was arguing over Meek Mill giving them kids 20 bucks instead of 20,000 or some shit.
Well, why is that your business? You know what I mean? Like,
that's why I was like, well, who cares?
Now you clout chasing. And that's kind of, you know, my biggest issue with this, you know, type of generational, you know, like men ain't really like men like that no more, right? It's going to delve into like, you know, gossiping and, you know, who bagged this joint over this joint and who gay, who pockets fatter and all that other stuff. Now, I ain't saying it's no positive stuff, but I'm sure it's, I heard people build a lot of audience over there, build a lot of connections and stuff like that if you connect with the average person. But as far as like going into these rooms where maybe, you know, these celebrities is in there and whatnot, I really don't see the purpose in that unless you just want to ear hustle. You know what I'm saying? And hear what they talking about, their lifestyle or whatever. But I don't think it's nothing I would be particularly interested in. You know what I'm saying? hell, I have enough time getting us together to record this shit. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really feel like sitting there, you know, rambling on Clubhouse, any app like that. But that's just my two cents on that issue.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not about to listen to 21 Savage give life advice. I like 21 Savage, but, you know, as far as, like, why we need to build our own, you know. And when I say, you know, I'm not excluding them because they're the bank. But, you know, like, I think what drives even them is us. You know what I mean? Like, rappers that don't even... Lil Wayne, when they be asking Lil Wayne, did he hear this album? He be like, man, I ain't listen to nobody out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he had his own world.
Yeah, you know, a lot of them be in their own world because they got money to do fly shit every day. You know what I mean? We listen to them to hear about the fly shit they do. I don't want to hear about your problems, bro.
Let me say this real quick. Why I just clicked on one of these Clubhouse rooms? It was Joe Budden's, and it's an option at the bottom to say leave quietly. I'm like, so what you, how else are you supposed to leave? Like, is there an announcement made when people leave these rooms? I ain't really been, I want to play with it a little bit more, but I don't really know. It's just celebrities.
Can you see who else in the room?
Yeah, you can see everybody that's in there.
That's great.
You can see everybody that's in there.
Now, do they limit the room? Like, I know you can't just have 200 people in the room. That would be crazy.
How many women in there?
It's nothing but women in this one.
See what I'm saying?
My bad. I know you can hear that.
Like, come, yo, like,
that's funny. Yo, this...
And buff ass dudes.
See what I'm saying? Yo, they just it's a party line, bro.
That's exactly what it is.
What it used to be
visuals.
Called the loop back in the day? They had the loop.
Live links.
Yeah, they got the party line. Oh, yeah. Before we continue, I gotta correct myself. I called this episode 17. It's actually episode 18 of the Harsh Reality Podcast. So,
yay!
I shortchanged us. My bad. You know, Ryan was on my head though, man. That's why I hired you. You were a great asset. Even though I don't pay you, but you was a great asset to the company. So we appreciate you. So let's move on to our next topic we got here, where we got Trump, and he extends his pardons to notable names, including Lil Wayne, Harry O, the co-founder of Death Row Records, and the infamous Kodak Black. What's his name? Bill something. I forgot what his real name was. But we didn't see any real political prisoners included on the list. You know, I know we got Assata Shakur still hiding out in Cuba over there. You got a Mumia Abdul-Jamal. You know, that's one of Tupac's step uncles or something like that. And he's still sitting locked up. You know, he should have been released and up for parole. But and it also in the letter, you know, Trump called Kodak Black a community leader, which was an interesting phrase, an interesting term, I think, to call Kodak Black. But, you know, everybody has their own opinion. So what do we think about, you know, Trump's pardons? And it's crazy. I think Snoop Dogg campaigned to get Harry O out. And we all know Snoop's kind of talking crazy about Trump while he was in office. So it's kind of crazy. He went on ahead and let his boy out. But what do you think about the pardons for 45 on his way out the door?
I just want to say that Kodak Black ain't no damn community leader. Okay?
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
Man, let that man call him whatever he need to call him and get him out of jail. Get his life back on track. Like, Kodak, he been bugging. He was bugging before he got locked up, but it's too many of us in jail. They want to call that dude a community leader. He could be the community leader of, you know, whatever short bus kid. You know, he could be community. You don't have to specify a community. Whatever title they want to give him, let's get him the hell out of the prison. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, we never gonna knock a brother coming home. That's always a beautiful thing. But it's like, Is that what you think of the black community, that our leaders is? It brings us back to, I know we didn't hit this topic probably about 35,000 fucking times, but it goes back to what I was saying, where it's like, what do y'all think our leaders are? You know, comedians and rappers and you know, athletes and things like that, when you actually got people on the ground putting in. So it's like, are you just saying that for the press release? Do you really think that, you know, Kodak Black is like a leader in his community, a pillar of the community? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it matter what they think. It's what we think. You know what I mean? Like, if they think he's a black leader, then You know, that's fucked up on their part. But if we think he a black leader, then we lost. You know what I mean? Like, let's not kid ourselves what's good, what he is, you know, to us. But, you know, if they want to say that, they're gonna say that. Remember, they was calling Ben Carson's, they're trying to make him like the best black African-American since Malcolm X. You know, they were trying to paint him to be somebody he really wasn't, you know. So yeah, they're always going to paint our narrative, you know, and just in this case, it's almost like a slap in the face, like Kodak black though. But you know, who do we view him as? The biggest thing is that we get that young man some mentorship, at least in that entertainment game, man. He probably don't listen, but get that man, the young man, some mentorship, keep him away from the drugs, keep him away from that lean, you know, and make sure that he doesn't find himself back doing some time that he can't get out of, especially under this new presidency. Ain't going to be no pardons. Ain't going to be no pardons for that, for no black man at the end of this term. You can bet that. And don't let Biden, something happen to him, Kamala being presidency. You know, it's a rat. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I know people was talking crazy about Lil Wayne, you know what I'm saying, that his endorsement of 45 during his campaign was related to him getting his pardon or whatever. And not that Wayne, I don't think Wayne cares about anything, to be honest with you. I think that dude is Teflon Don. You know, like, he just walking around this earth doing his thing. But and it's kind of crazy that they say that, you know, that endorsement was tied to him getting that, you know, pardon or whatever, which, I mean, honestly, man, I think Dave Chappelle said it best on his comedy specials when he was basically saying, like, you know, you got all these, you know, poor Americans in there, you know, they love, you know, Trump and think he's going to do something to them. And he's up there fighting for them. And then Dave Chappelle was like, I'm rich. He fighting for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's up there for the donor class. Right.
Yeah.
So that kind of hit home for me. It's like Lil Wayne is a rich man. Right. You know, Kodak Black. These are rich people. Say what you want to say. These are rich black people. I think Kwame Kilpatrick also, he was in politics, the former mayor of Detroit. He got locked up for corruption, but he's part of the circle too. So these ones, just like, you know, black men that was sitting there, you know, wronged and all these dudes got bread. Either they got bread or they know somebody who got the bread. This wasn't just, you know, Ray Ray sitting in the joint. So you also got to keep that into consideration when you think about
Wayne had to be facing like 80 years, bro. Yo, he sold his masters and he got one of, like, his masters I would put up there, like, maybe like Jay-Z selling his masters.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever charges he had to be crazy. Like, that dude wasn't going to see the light of day.
Well, you know, he's going to get the BG pack, man. I think it was with the federal gun law or whatever, the federal gun charge. I think BG still locked up. BG locked up, what, 10 years already off that?
It'd be more than that.
Yeah, when you catch that federal gun charge, first of all, the feds got a 99% or 98% conviction rate or some ridiculousness like that. So if they nail you, it's a wrap. You know what I'm saying? Kiss the wife. Yeah, you done for how much time you getting. And they don't have that, you know, 85%, 50% joint. You going to do damn near all that. I think they up like 95%.
Unless you snitching. Unless you a rat.
Yeah, and I don't think Wayne. And Wayne, he's like the opposite of a rat. Like, he went to joint. He went to prison last time for some. He could have went to the crib for. You know what I'm saying? But he shed it up and they gave him the time. So I can't knock a man for doing what he got to do to ensure his freedom. You can't do nothing from behind no bars. As long as you ain't, you know, actively, you know, ratting out anybody or something. And let me clarify that, because I want nobody saying, oh, you pushing that, you know, street nonsense. People don't realize, you know, it's different between like a snitch and somebody who's, you know, telling something they saw. You know, if I rob a bank with you, I get away and you get caught and you tell on me so you can get off. That's a snitch, right?
Yeah, that's a snitch. Unnecessary telling.
But if your grandma looking out the window and see somebody breaking into somebody's car and call the police, that ain't no snitch. You know what I'm saying? That's somebody doing their thing, you know, looking out for their neighbors, right? So you gotta clarify that, because a lot of people, you know, hear that snitch word, hear that, you know, rat word, and they think of something else. So we gotta, every time I say it, I'm gonna make sure I clarify for those out there. So you got anything, Sharice, about the Trump pardons?
No, I think if they ain't really like not, if they're non-violent offenders, I don't really see nothing wrong with letting them out.
Yeah, so say bring them home. But I would like to see, you know, I definitely would have liked to see more, you know, other political prisoners. You know, you got dudes that have been in the 60s and 70s of some of them Black Power movements, and they've been locked up, you know, railroaded. You know what I'm saying? I think, but I don't expect, I don't expect Trump to know about these people, right? Most Black people don't even know about Sada Shakur and Mumia Abdul-Jamal and all these cats locked up, right? So I would say it should have been more on, you know, our so-called leaders to kind of like push, like, hey, man, you got all these. And honestly, if he did it before, you know, November, what was it? What was the election day? If you did put some of that, you know, energy into reaching out like that, shit, it might have been a different result, right? I think a lot of Black, particularly Black males, felt a lot of disproportionately underrepresented this last election, right? And that's one thing you could have did. You know, I know I talked to Felicia Killings on one previous episode, did an interview. And that's one thing she said, the outreach from the EDA party, but particularly the Republican Party, is terrible. You know what I'm saying? They won't maybe put some more, you know, effort into showing that, you might have had a different result. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you know, a lot of that isn't probably, you know, they, you know, it's just like the reaction from their side, from that side, would have been just like the type of resistance were met when Black people walk into a building that they might share with a white tenant. You know, like it's like, well, you know, it's not that Black people live there, it's that they live there too. This is my space, you know, and so, you know, I think it would be smart for the Republicans to start looking at better marketing strategies toward Black males and Black females too. But, you know, I think we forget that Trump was a freaking rock star. You know what I mean? Like let's not forget all these stars that was partying with Trump before he was a president. You know, you know, like a lot of these people, you know, he probably feel like, yo, my man turned his back on me. He should just know this is business. You know, like this dude was a rich dude partying, you know, even Mike Tyson, you know, and Mike Tyson is very emotionally and mentally sound right now. And Mike Tyson even says something online. It's like, man, that shit is business. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it can't, you know, not condoning a lot of stuff he said over the years and some of the stuff that he's done. But this dude, you know, he probably made money with Black people, made money with white people. This dude was really in there just trying to probably rock with whoever was rocking with him. And unfortunately, with media, you know, we Black people, because we're so we look for a reason to direct our anger at people. And we took that energy this election and we put it towards Trump because he was vocal, but we ain't put it towards the other side with their track record. So, you know, I mean, you know, he let Lil Wayne now. He probably partied with Lil Wayne and sometimes, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Lil Wayne probably made a call, say, yo, let my little bro Kodak out too. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably, you know, those things ain't always so like political where there's like a hidden agenda. That joint was probably like, yeah, I talked to Wayne. He called me. He endorsed me. That's a good guy. I'm letting him out. You know,
yeah,
probably something on the lines of that.
But that's my thing. I was like, y'all talk crazy, but I mean, this dude is ego driven. To me, an ego driven is like the motherfucker you want around, because you can say, hey, man, hey, your tie look good, bro. You know, free my man's Larry Hoover over here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. We rock with you. Let me holler at you by my man's over here. You know, let's holler about these stimulus. What's up with these stimmies, bro?
That's what, like, Ice Cube was trying to say. You know, yeah, Ice Cube was like, yo, we trying to break deals over here. Not worried about what the aesthetics look like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's one thing. We dealing with business. Like you said, man, we dealing with business, bro. And when you're dealing with business, man, you got to put the emotions and you got to put the, you know, how you feel to the side if you're going to get with, you know, if you're trying to come up in this world here, right? But, you know, that's when you easily manipulated by the media and things like that, you know, and you keep it a buck. You know, we all know who controls the majority of the media in this country. So it is what it is, man. But I definitely think they could have reached out more if they was trying to make a move anyway, you know. So it's partly on them, definitely, too. But let's go ahead to the next one. We got Bali. Bali deports lesbian black females. Is this a case of discrimination or is it social media stunting gone wrong? Background, little background. Two girls moved from L.A. to Bali. They set up a business. It was claims that they violated their visa. I'm not 100% sure on that. But they said they didn't pay the Bali taxes. And they also wrote an ebook basically and promoted this online about how Americans can move to Bali and basically how it was so, you know, LGBTQ friendly and things like that. Now they're reportedly they're getting deported. And one of the things they say is discrimination based on the fact that they're lesbian black females. Right. So is this, you know, more so discrimination on Bali's part or do people just do too much on social media? So what do you guys think?
Definitely just do too much, you know, like, and I think that's part of, you know, when you travel, you realize what a lot of people don't realize is that America is not the world. Like when you go and know the other countries, like you can't enforce your Americanism on other countries, you know, and there's certain regulations and rules and how you have to conduct yourself as a person. And, you know, not a lot of other countries, and I'm not saying Bali's like this, a lot of countries don't let women really speak out for certain things, you know? So, like, a lot of time, women don't have the same freedoms that they have in this nation, especially to be painting a picture of black women throwing themselves out of the natural cycle of reproduction by having this gay, steamy, lesbian affair. They was making erotic, you know,
not steamy.
He said steamy, yeah. That's a cinema.
Like a damn Eric. Yeah, it's like an Eric Jerome Dickey book.
Little, what's his name? Zane? Yeah, you know what I mean? But what men not writing about our encounters in Bali with the girl we hooked out. We just getting her a plane ticket and sending her back home. That's how we do. You know, and now they got deported because of it. You know what I mean? And they should have wrote, you're not going to go to a Muslim country and acting like that. They'll lock you up. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, they caned you over there, bro. They still got
that. Yeah.
Yes. And so they was bragging about they had a $1,300 for LA studio. Now they have a treehouse for $400.
But see, they did the same thing to some people when I was over there in Qatar working. I don't remember if they were in Qatar or Dubai. No, it was Kuwait. It was a black lesbian couple over there in Kuwait, and they threw their ass in jail because they said they had some weed. And pretty much it was the same thing. Like, I agree with what El Miguel was saying. Like, you can't go to these countries and disrespect whatever laws, religious beliefs, rules they have in place and disrespect their culture and then want people to feel like you're being discriminated against, especially when you're bragging about it on all forms of social media, you know?
And then you over there caking up, right? You making money, you know, selling the ebook. You're not paying no taxes in Bali. You got your $400 treehouse. And honestly, man, this generation just does too much on social media, man. Keep it low key, right? You ain't had to tell nobody you was in Bali, right? You could have still did your thing. Hey, you could have said a different country every week. Nobody know the hell you at, you know? And that's the clout, man. The clout will take you down every time, bro. The clout chasing will take you down every time. You do not have to announce all of your plans, all your intentions, everything you're doing on social media to a bunch of strangers who don't know you, because there are haters lurking, right? You think these, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 followers are there? Half of these people are following you just to hate on you. I know pretty prominent dude I follow on Twitter, man. He has this dude that comes on every post he posts just to discredit whatever he's posting, yo. It's crazy, yo. It's like, that's your job. That's what you do with your day, is just hop on, you know, social media and try to discredit this who you don't. You follow a person you don't even like for first. That's psychopathic behavior in itself, right? You following a person you don't even like, and then you come on all their posts just to discredit their posts, you know? And you got to keep that into account when you're making all these moves and you putting it out there for the world to see that a lot of these people really don't like you. So, you know what I mean? They will report your post. They will, is people out here that just go up and report every post that you put up for violating rules. They'll do that, you know. So I think that was on them.
And also, too, like, you know, they're providing a mass blueprint to the world saying you can go from your 500 square foot apartment in L.A. to a treehouse for $400 a month. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're providing a blueprint that could actually gentrify that whole area very quickly. Because I know shit. I know people that make $400 almost a day in FanDuel. They wouldn't even have to work to live pretty good over there. You know what I mean? Like, you probably got rid of them because of the economic change. Like, yeah, people do, you know, are tourists and they come and go. But if you're saying that you could come over there and buy a goddamn mansion in some trees, you know, for $400 a month, well, what is that going to attract? You know what I mean? And those type of people are probably definitely changed the culture and climate like we've seen around the world. You know, look at Germany, look at Africa. A lot of these Americanized places, what comes with it is drugs, prostitution, and entertainment. You know, and that's just is what it is. You know, not just Americans, but that, I mean, that's that European lifestyle. You know, that's just is what it is. And, you know, say European, but not blaming them because we indulge in it too. But if they want to preserve some kind of resemblance to their culture and community, they don't probably want people coming over there and living over there. I'm kind of reading it now. I don't think they were like, they were living over there, but they just had an extended stay over there. You know, if you think about it, $400 a month, right? If you did that for 6 months, what's that? $2,400. You know what I'm saying? That's not a lot of money at all. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, for somebody, you know, some people over here making like $15,000 a month, you know, you can go rent a Airbnb, a treehouse in Bali. Like you going, it's a bunch of kids, you know, especially in Silicon Valley, you know, most of the millionaires under 30 are all in Silicon Valley. You know, kids probably licking their chops like, oh, we headed to Bali. We might go buy the whole island, you know? Exactly. And so, you know, not every country wants to be like them, you know, so.
Yeah, like you say, you don't want to track the wrong. And then from what I read, Bali is a mostly Muslim and Hindu country, you know, so.
Oh, they got them the fuck out of there.
Yeah, so why you may have been chilling low key, right? As soon as you start promoting that, you know, they queer friendly over here. They probably was like, pump the brakes. Hold on, we what over here? So that was another thing to keep in consideration. But honestly, man, you can, it's parts of America. If you want to pay $300 rent, you can have it. I did it before, you know. I know where I can testify, you know what I mean? I found a $300 spot before. It was haunted, but you can do it. You know, you can move to middle America somewhere and get you a cheap spot, right? You don't necessarily have to go overseas and all that unless you're trying to get, you know, the different culture. I will recommend it. Everybody, you know, make take a trip and things like that. But honestly, if you just going for, you know, the money savings and things like that, you know what I'm saying? Omaha sitting right there. Take your ass in the breast. You know what I'm saying?
And that's another thing we got to stop doing is going to these other countries with very strong cultural values and just doing whatever we want to do, right? We seen in North Korea when that dude tore down that painting. They sent him home in a body bag, you know what I mean? In a coma, you know? And you had LiAngelo Ball, he go to China and why you want to go to China and steal from a Louis Vuitton store when you already rich? You know what I mean? Like, what did you think was going to happen? You know, that's another person that, you know, Trump got out of that bond, you know, so allegedly, you know? So I'm looking at these girls now, they could have passed for sisters and just did they lesbian thing behind closed doors.
That might have been the case. They might not have known unless they was, you know, straight PDAing it out there. They probably was like, whatever. And at the end of the day, money talks, right? I think one of the places they might have got the idea of Bali from Russell Simmons, man. I think that's one of the places he goes because, you know, he's deep into meditation and Hindu living and all that other stuff. I think one of the places, I think he got a crib out there in Bali. So, you know, they probably was trying to clout chase, you know, Russell Simmons. Like, hey, Russell, go to Bali. We can go to Bali, right? And, you know, being American, they probably thought the money was long. So it's like money talks. I guarantee you if those two young ladies, you know, was really breaded up to the point, you know, close to Russell Simmons cash, they wouldn't be getting deported. Right. Yeah, so don't know. I think they could bribe somebody and stay over there. But, you know, I digress. What you got? You got anything, Sharice, any more on the Bali lesbians here?
Not the Bali lesbians. No, I think I said, I think that they should have just read the room before they went to somebody else's country, just acting like they were in America and then telling everybody their business.
Do you see what they look like?
I want to see it. I'm about to look it up right now.
They're very pretty. They're very pretty girls. Very pretty girls. My Trump voice. You know? But, you know, it's like, I don't get it. I'm confused now. I'm so confused what's going on with our black women. I'm so confused. I just don't even understand.
But you know what was tripping, man? I seen the interview when the guy had him outside the courtroom. They talking about getting deported and things like that. Soon as she said, they let her talk, right? Soon as she said, like, well, we're getting deported because we're lesbian, we're part of the LGBTQ. It was like, interview.
Yeah, bro.
Like, we ain't playing that.
But see, that's like better than painting a race card, though.
Yeah,
it is. You trying to cry racism don't work as well as it used to. But you cry that LGBT discrimination. Oh, you getting all kind of backing. You might even get free lawyer services.
I think that might be just a here thing. I don't think over there they hearing that.
They ain't hearing that over there. That's what I'm saying. Like over in the States, you pull that LGBT discrimination, you going to win, son. You going to be accommodated somehow. Over there, they ain't trying to hear that. They thought, you know, like, oh, we're Americans. I'm like, nah, I don't give a fuck about that. You know what I mean? And they beautiful women. Why y'all gay? Why y'all gay over in Bali banging each other? That's
crazy. I don't know. I'm going to look up a picture because what I seen, they didn't look that great to me. I don't know.
No, I mean, they pretty. They young.
Yeah, they real gorgeous. They do look like sisters, too.
Yeah, they could have passed for sisters walking around the island.
Well, she had that mask on for what I seen. So I got to see her unmasked.
Yeah, you got to see them without the mask on. They pretty.
Okay, all right. Come on back to state, sisters. You'll be all right. Come on back to you. Come on back to Compton. We still here.
Not Compton. We still here.
we got buying all of us now. Racism is dead. And come on down. Come on back to the states. All right. So, and now we got some breaking news. Breaking news. We got Congressman Jamal Bowman. He's currently on Twitter and he's calling student loans, the Electoral College, and filibuster rules that they are holding up white supremacy. The most overused word this year. Is the brother trolling, pandering, or has he lost his mind? So Mr. Jamal Bowman is a representative in Congress, and he's saying student loans is a part of white supremacy. So, where do I begin? Where do we begin on that notion?
Shit, is he right? I mean, I never really drew the correlation, but
do white people have student loans? I don't know. Do they just forgive their student loans? And
I don't know what. Why? After that, one lady went to prison for pretty much paying for her daughter to get into college. I don't know what's going on with the whole school system. I ain't never thought I would see a white mom get in trouble for paying for her daughter to get into a university. I thought that was just a natural thing. I don't know what's going on with like school and, you know, like I wouldn't draw that correlation between taking out a loan and white supremacy, but Jamal Bowman, yeah, this is a quote from him. Student loan debt is a pillar upholding white supremacy. It's time to cancel all of it. Yo, he's trolling heavy.
That's what I said, bro. Either he off the yak tonight, he's trolling, yo. A little bit of pandering. I don't know which one it is, but come on, bro. Yeah, student loans is holding up whites. The thing that kind of hits to me is I feel as though, you know, you got to be careful upon what terms you use, because if you cry wolf too many times, the term uses it's you know, value. It loses its funk, its power, you know. It was a time that, you know, saying somebody was a white supremacist or a racist, that was a hard hitting thing, right? That was like, damn, for real? You know what I'm saying? Now they just throwing that term out like, you know, like people saying swag a couple years ago, or people were saying, you know, drip, you know what I'm saying, now, or lit, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have some evidence. I think if you're going to accuse something, you got to back it up, right? You're going to accuse people of upholding white supremacy. You call people racist. You're going to call the system racist. Drop some receipts. Otherwise, it's going to be taken as a joke. So now when somebody actually experience, racism, experiences discrimination based on, the notion of white supremacy and things of that. Now, when they say it, it's going to be taken as a joke. It's going to be like, oh, here go this dude hollering about this again. It's going to be a running joke. So I think particularly these politicians are treating these terms like it's words of the day, like it's the buzzwords. And that's going to have a consequence behind it, man. So when you say something, bring your receipts with it. You know what I'm saying? Bring some knowledgeable, historical knowledge to it. Bring something to the table other than just yelling about white supremacy. Like, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that shit this past, month, I'd probably have at least enough to buy a 40, of OE.
Speaking of that, though, like we mentioned Byron Allen on previous episode, he was crying. I'm not going to say he was crying because the narrative's changed now. But, he sued Comcast alleging racial discrimination. And I was about to bring it up. So I just did some research real quick. And he actually, I'm not going to say he won the case, but Comcast actually settled and brokered a deal. The contents of that isn't public information. But, he's saying that he's been awarded a long-term deal with Comcast and probably a large lump sum of money, given that he was suing for $20 billion. I'm guessing if he landed anywhere from 100 million to 500 million, he still gets to walk away happy camper. But I think in that case, the side effect of losing that case is that with case law would have made it very hard for another person to sue Comcast for racial discrimination. So gladly they settled. And we have to look at what we throw that race car, because we probably only got one more good shot to use that for something. You know what I mean? Like
you hold it like the big joke in spades. Yeah, like I'm
gonna hold that this shit. Your partner ain't got no books and you got three. And you got one, you got two books.
We gotta make board. We gotta make
board. And I gotta guarantee one, but nothing else after that is guaranteed. I think we don't have too many, because like you said earlier, we're being lumped up as colored people of all color, right? The non-colored versus the colored, and those colored people suffer too. They ain't gonna want to hear about when we're in integrated schools, right? They seeing our kids come to school in Jordans, cars, chains, and they kids come to school in Walmart clothes, and they talking about, they not gonna want to hear how we struggle, because we all struggling the same right now. So that race card is falling on deaf ears. White people understand it, but the Asian people don't understand it. The Spanish people don't understand it. The Indian people don't care. You know what I mean? So that racial, we don't have any backing for that, hopefully, and he need to stay off Twitter. I'm seeing everything he posted.
Yeah, he off the chain, bro. he off the chain. Stop it, Bobis.
Same picture, bro. He got.
He off the chain, bro. I'd say him and the brother, the Baltimore mayor, is like, woo. I don't know if y'all seen that brother in Baltimore. They new mayor, though. I think he's like one of them dudes you went to school with that be smoking weed in the back of the class.
I like him.
Yeah,
he cool. He speak his mind.
Yeah, he don't care. He don't care.
I take him over Andrew Gilliam, Booty Warrior. Anyway. let's get some real brothers out here representing us.
About to get banned.
He didn't cut out when he started talking crazy. God said no. It just cut out on you.
What you got, Osharice? What you you got? Do you have any student loans or anything?
Not any student loan.
Do you think a student loan is a pillar of a white supremacy? What do you think?
I feel like there's definitely. Well, I'm not gonna say ain't no white people got student loans, but I think there's more black people with student loans because most of our parents couldn't afford schooling.
Well, most of our parents ain't trying to go to no damn college.
Exactly. So but, I think a lot of, I mean, you meet mostly everybody I meet got student loans, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 of debt and stuff like that.
But this is my thing. I think people need to be more educated on student loans. It is so easy. I know when I was going to school and I used to get the little Pell Grant. And it's like a little button you can click, right? It's like you can get $5,000 with your Pell Grant, or you can get $15,000. It's like, whoa.
Exactly.
Let me just click this button and get $15,000. It's not telling you that other 10 is a federal, you know, student, and you don't even need the bread.
And you already signed it. You already signed with that MPN or whatever. And the thing is, people be young when they be going to school. And a lot of times the stories I hear, people say, oh, I just blew through that money. I just, you know, used this to do this and that. So they pay for school, but then they blew a lot of that money too.
Exactly. And like I said, you don't even necessarily need it. It's not like they do an audit and be like, do you need, we see that you know, need this bread. So we going to give it. It's like literally all you have to do is click this other button and yep. $10,000 more is in your account. And like you said, if you 18 years old, man, you're going to click that button 9 times out of 10. Exactly. So I think in more so me, we need to, well, if you're a parent, you need to educate your kids on this for sure. You need to if they going to school and you in a life and you active, hey, check it out. It look good, but everything that glitter ain't gold. Don't check that box, right? Also, they need to do something about these predatory loans. You know what I'm saying? But it's the Fed, so you know they're not gonna regulate themselves and say, hey, maybe we should stop, you know, handing out these loans to these kids who can't pay it, don't want to pay it, and all this other stuff. Man, I tell you what, I know people. I may or may not know people. Who signed up for school just to get the loan and, you know, and flip that however they flip it.
Exactly. I heard that shit too. Ain't even go to school. Hey, bitch, you got a what?
It's actually smart as hell, because you taking that loan and you're creating capital off of it, opposed to taking that loan, getting a receipt from the loan, right? And still might not generate no cash flow.
But you pay it back?
That's if you actually flip it. Yeah, exactly. Half the time they didn't even flip it. They
got the interest and everything. You ain't paying the interest down or nothing. That be the problem, not what you do with the money.
Mm-hmm. So the whole system needs to be reworked. I would not necessarily say it's white supremacy, because this is the thing, man. I don't know if people not well traveled or anything like that, but all white people ain't balling, yo. We spent time in Mississippi and all types of places, the panhandle places in Florida, different little towns over. Yeah. It's cats in trailers, man, with a dog chained to the back. You know what I'm saying? It is more, you know, white people on food stamps than black people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, they don't be trying to hear that struggle and you know, they don't be trying to hear that reason why you struggling is because you black, because they struggling and they white. So they, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're not trying to hear that shit.
So yeah, people need to travel, man. Get out your town. Exactly. Take a drive around the country, man. Even particularly now, it ain't like you got shit to do. But the international travel shut down. Take you a trip across middle America. Go through these little towns in Nebraska and Iowa, and you will see that, you know, it, just because you white don't mean you balling at all. You know what I'm saying? Not saying it ain't some people out here that prospered from different systems, you know, built off the back of our ancestors, because it definitely is. But, you know, it's people struggling like we struggling. Everybody's struggling. So I think you should just, if you're going to make the point that, you know, these student loans is predatory, just make that point. You know what I'm saying? You cheapen what you're saying when you start throwing these buzzwords in, these words of the day, these terms of the day in there, right? Now it looks like a joke when it's a serious matter. The student loans is a serious matter. You just kind of cheapened it to me. You know what I'm saying?
Might as well say lift every voice at the end of it.
No, they trying to do that. They got a bill to make that the national hymn.
I said, who
the fuck asked for that? Who?
Oh, man.
Half the people I know don't even know the lyrics to, bruh. Take a survey right now. And you know, I was bored at the gig one day. I'm like, you know, I'm going to go ask every brother, do they know the words to lift every. Out of like 10 brothers, I crushed one. One knew like half of the first verse. Mm. I know it because I went to majority, you know, black school back when I grew up, and they made us sing that every assembly.
Yeah, they made us sing it too. I don't remember it, but I remember they used to make us sing that joint.
Yeah, and it's three verses. I didn't even know it was three verses. Yeah, I know the first verse. Man, I heard somebody sing the whole three verses. I'm like, whoa.
Oh no.
You like from Wakanda, yo. You got Super Saiyan powers. You can sing all three verses and lift every voice to sing. But that's crazy, man. Like, you know, we need more, you know, rather than these pandering resolutions and things like that, man. Give us some tangible things, you know. Don't use these buzzwords when trying to, you know, advocate for things that's actually helping people, man, because it looks bad. It just looks bad. And it's going to be taken as a joke by a lot of these people on, you know, Congress and Capitol Hill and things like that.
Yep, yep.
So that's all I got on that. We got anything else on the docket?
Let me say this. I know, I think our generation, we talked about this on my podcast. Our generation is, we're the driving force for a lot of change, and I'm really proud of us. We're having a lot of uncomfortable conversations, moving forward with a lot of different things, gaining the knowledge, sharing knowledge, and we're trying to bring each other together, you know, so.
Word, that's a good, I think that's a good way to end it on too, man. I will say, I mean, that's a great thing, and it's the bad thing about like this connected world we live in, right? This social media connected world. I call it a simulation. It's almost like a simulation. But we can have conversations and tough conversations with different people from different walks of life, you know. And that's the danger of also being in the echo chamber, is that you don't hear different voices, right? That's why I'm never, back to our previous topic when we was talking about censorship, I'm never against censoring anybody, even if they saying the dumbest shit alive. Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, once you do that, now this person has, you know, these little echo chambers where they can hear, you know, other dumb shit, other dummies to confirm what they saying. So you need different dissenting opinions. And I think that's always a positive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So anything else? Anybody got anything else?
I want to shout out a black business. So we were talking about traveling and stuff like that. I got a homegirl. She bought a Sprinter van, gutted it out, and then she got the whole inside redone. So it's like a camper on the inside, but it's better. And she had it like custom made and everything. So she's going to be posting like a bunch of like different travel trips and adventures and just documenting life that isn't bound by just being in a home. Like, she's going to be living on the road. So if y'all want to, you know, if you're interested in following her, she's on Instagram. Her IG name is blackbeautytravels_. And let me verify. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds. Yeah. Okay. It's blackbeautytravels_ on Instagram. She's on Facebook also. Just check her out under, I think it's Black Beauty Travels on Facebook. But yeah, y'all got to check it out. The, cause she shows the whole, like how, like from start to finish, like it was just a regular Sprinter van. And like, I mean, you can see the pictures from start to finish. So I think it's pretty cool. I'm excited to see her adventures and stuff like that.
Sounds dope.
Hell yeah.
Shoot that, shoot like the socials and stuff over the ride too, so I can throw them in like the show notes. All right, so L. Miguel, we're gonna wrap up. What you got, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm chilling. This was a good wrap up this week. I'm glad everybody's still safe and sound. Hope everybody out there in fan land is too. But I'm chilling.
All right, cool. Yeah, we had a little bit of a extended holiday break. Get things together, but it's all good. We fresh now for 2021, so that's always a good thing. What else you got, Sharice? You got anything else?
Yeah, you guys check out my podcast, the Queens Council Podcast. Whoop, whoop, whoop. We've been going hard. We've been pushing these episodes out. I'm actually we just recorded yesterday, so there's a new episode coming soon. So it's the Queens Council Podcast on Facebook. It's it's the Queens Council Podcast on IG. We're on Twitter, but I don't really be posting nothing, but please still follow us anyway. I got two co-hosts on there. We have a lot of great dialect, and yeah, just check us out.
All right, word. Right, what you doing? What you good? Back there in the background, holding it down, hitting us with those facts. You got anything you want to say or shout out?
No, I'm good this time.
All right, short, sweet. We like it. I don't really got nothing. I've been slacking. I got to catch up on everything. so I will say we're going to have some new reviews up soon on Hip Hop High Society. Still looking for writers. So if any writer out there, anybody who wants to get experience on the writing or and wants to, you know, build their portfolio a little bit or whatever, hit me up. And that's pretty much all I got. So on behalf of the people here at the Harsh Reality Podcast, I have to say peace.